you know, because we had such a long winter, and so I rented there's three different bikes that I rented while I was down there. I wanted to see what kind I wanted to buy, and I had rented Road King, and I really liked it.
Yeah. I like mine a lot.
Well, it's nice looking, that's for sure.
This junk mail is just on here.
I'm okay, now. Are you gonna turn that off now?
No, this is a different remote.
Oh, is you have a remote?
How you doing?
I'm just dressed down, I'm not ashamed.
Yeah, well, mayor said I could.
It's not worse this day. It looks to be good, but you can.
I would prefer to do it in the general.
Did you get your oil fixed, finally?
Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's August 6th, a regular Othello City Council meeting. You'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the City Council for wisdom as we make our decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. I think item 1.2, new agenda item, we can strike that. When we adopt our agenda tonight. Roll call on item 1.5. We have Councilman Garza celebrating a birthday with his family tonight, so I'd entertain a motion to excuse him from tonight's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to citizen input, item 1.6. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council? Just raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay. Hearing none, I pointed out the item 1.2, new agenda item, should be stricken, but other than that, could I get a motion with that acknowledgement to approve our agenda tonight?
I'll make the motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to our current business tonight, and the first item, 4.1, is Adams County Park and Rec number 1. And I have a presentation here I want to give the council. I've been having meetings with the Adams County Park and Rec District number 1. Bless you. And I've had two meetings with the Adams County Park and Rec District, and as you recall, when I got back from Las Vegas, I had talked about having doing things that were going to improve the amenities to the city of Othello. And tonight, the City Council has an opportunity to look at one of those things. And so the question before the council is, should Othello consider upgrades to the pool facility? So we have talked about and had applied for in the last grant funding cycle a splash pad. We ended up finishing 56th or 60-something out of 90-some applications, and so we didn't get funded for that. So what I did is I did some investigation, and one of the things, before I get into that investigation, these are some of the reasons why we want a splash pad here in Othello to add to our existing pool. It's a recreation attraction. It draws interest in the community. It's safe play. There's no standing water in it, so kids, little kids, grandparents can take little kids to that. The little kids love those water features more than even getting in water over their head or even in a zero depth pool, because there's more going on and they're attracted to those kind of things. It's a more cost effective installation than a swimming pool because you don't have nearly the excavation. It's a more cost effective operation because we recycle the water. We would want to try and recycle the water. And of course there's efficiencies involved when you already have an existing pool and then you add this additional feature to your pool. So what are the cost benefits? Construction doesn't require many security features. It says here, example, fencing and gates. That's about all that we would need to surround it. It would be a part of the swimming pool enclosure. The operations, the safety concerns, it doesn't have near the amount of safety concerns as it does in water that gets over kids' head. There's no risk of drowning. Maintenance, it's significantly less compared to swimming pools. And the cost of the equipment, the materials, the pumps, filters, chemicals is a lot less than what it is for a swimming pool. So why are splash pads a popular attraction? The interaction. You can play impromptu games, you can blast water cannons, you can stand together in anticipation of the bucket drop like these kids are doing right here. It looks like they're having lots of fun. Because there's very little standing water, the safety issues are minimal. We can do all kinds of surfacing designs on a splash pad. And then there's spray elements, and we can decide what types of spray elements we want, the sizes, the shapes, the colors. One of them that I saw that I really liked was, I think it's the city of Washougal, where they have this one that is like a big fine mist that comes out, and it looks like a fog. And so kids can run through it, and it looks like they're just coming out of a cloud, actually. And it's a very popular attraction there. The other thing that would be involved in this arrangement would be to install a flow rider. As you can see, a flow rider is a purpose-built wave machine creating perpetual sheets of water or a wave that's perfect for bodyboarding or stand-up surfing. The ride surface is made of trampoline-like surface, so if you wipe out the rest, you'll go straight back up on your feet, so nobody's gonna get hurt on one of those things. Of course, they're gonna have to have supervision from staff, but as you saw from the previous picture and from this picture, it looks like a lot of fun. And this is what'll attract teenagers, is in a scenario like this. So when I did my investigation, what I found out at the Park and Rec, the city went to the Adams County Park and Rec District somewhere around 2004 or 2005, and they had proposed to the Park and Rec District that they float the bond issue that way that the pool facility wouldn't be paid just by the residents in the city of Othello, but they would be paid by the residents in the school district boundaries, which is more representative of who uses the pool. So that was done in 2006, and That was a $2.6 million bond issue. And today, at the end of this year, the outstanding balance on those bonds is approximately $1.3 million. So if you go to the, Yvonne, if you'll go to the, second attachment for this agenda item, please.
I'm sorry, you want me to do that one?
Yes, please. While she's doing that, one of the things I think that many of you, if you haven't by now, you will soon be asked what's happening at Tagaris Park. Adams County Park and Rec District is responsible for Tagaris Park. And in our city budget back in 2006, we agreed to pay the Park and Rec District $10,000 to help assist with maintaining that park, along with anything else that they were able to raise. And in exchange, they went ahead and floated that bond issue. Well, that $1.3 million outstanding balance is now the interest rate. They've raised it twice on them, and the interest rate is at 5%. So what the city, okay, let me back up. What my discussions with, I don't want to represent the city yet because that's a decision by the council, but what I've talked to them about is the county treasurer had referred me to a bond specialist. He said that using the, if you look at on the agenda item, that has this debt service that he prepared. He said what we could do is refinance the district's existing 2006 debt and structure the principal payments on the new park and rec $1.3 million funding to occur after the 2006 debt retires, which is after 2025. Those two things will mean the district can ask the voters for a new $1.3 million to pay for this splash pad, to pay for a flow rider, to buy a lawnmower out at Tagaris Park, and some other equipment that they may need, and for them to do a have money to do a survey and a master park plan, so that then they could apply for additional funding through the state, and they could get funding to do maybe lights for their soccer fields, and create a men's soccer league and take over the soccer in the community, and that would allow them to become self-sustaining. And so those are some of the mechanics of how this would work. And basically what it does is it keeps the 20-cent tax rate so that nobody's going to have a property tax increase. It will still remain the same. It will just pay for an additional 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and a half years. So with that change, the city would receive the money it would need to build its splash park, to have the flow rider. We would allocate some of those funds to Tagaris Park for them to get some of the needed things that they have, because Tagaris Park is a part of our community, and would allow them to become self-sustaining as we help them. And so what I'm looking for from the council is I'm looking now for comments about that particular plan.
So the 10 grand that they were given, that's a yearly thing, correct?
Yes.
So, because I know that we pay a fee that had to do with the pool, and I thought that was for paying back on that bond. That 10 grand a year, is that specifically for taking care of Tagaris Park?
Whatever they're
Because they're not putting 10 grand a year in that. There's no way. the only thing that ever gets done down there is when the community jumps in and goes out and does it themselves.
On Saturday?
Yeah, there was a big get-together on Saturday where the community got together and went down there and cleaned up.
There's actually employees that are hired to take care of that.
There is.
Yeah, but they ran out of money, basically. And all the people, see, for the longest time, the Lions Club, the longtime Lions Club members are the people who actually sustained that, along with Pete Tagaris, along with, you know, some other notable people in the community. And most of those people have started to phase out or have died. And so now it's down to, I mean, their chairman is 90-year-old Bill Bethman. So Othello is aging. And so the thrust and the thing that used to keep that park up is gone. And so now you have a new board, and they tried to sell property to the housing authority, but they found out that when the county wasn't going to allow them to do that, because when they allowed them to build those houses back there on the other side of the park, part of the contingency was is that that park had to remain intact so that there was recreation opportunities for people who lived in that area, because that was the purpose when Pete Tagaris built that park. And John, you might have a little bit more information on that.
That's good enough.
Is that good enough?
Yep.
Okay. So this process is as this bond specialist, he says, it's a mechanism we intend to use to generally accepted by county treasurers, financial advisors, and a bond attorney community, and has been in common use for many years. So basically, I think I'll refer to Kelly to give us a overview of what would be involved in a process to work with the Adams County Park and Rec District number one again to make all these things happen.
Sure. Well, generally, so there's different types of bonds, and I'm not bond counsel. You'd have to certainly hire bond counsel to actually go through all the technical aspects of getting a bond, but generally the governing bodies, the government bodies need to approve a resolution to submit a bond to the public to vote. And so you guys do a resolution. If you're doing it in conjunction with Adams County, you know, they would participate in that as well. Both bodies would approve a resolution to submit the bond issue to the voters. And you do a ballot title. It'd be a resolution to put that on the ballot. You get that put together, you gotta let the county auditor know, because they're the ones that actually get things on the ballot ahead of the next election. I do think there's an issue as to whether or not you could get it on the general election ballot for this year. I'm not sure if those have to be in by the 1st of September or the 2nd Tuesday of the August. In which case, if it's the 2nd Tuesday of August, you wouldn't be able to make it. But potentially you could if the county and the city could get to an agreement and get everything put before a public hearing and the resolution approved in September, which would be for the November election. Otherwise, you'd have to be, you know, submitted it to a special election in February. That's generally how you go about doing it. Good news is that there are firms that specialize in bond work, a bond specialist and also bond counsel, and that's all they do. Because it is a relatively complicated area, and it's one thing you want to make sure is done well. There's some very famous litigation in Washington State when bonds were done poorly. Spokane parking garage is one of them. Blue River Park Square parking garage is one of them. So just something to keep in mind, but yeah, bonds are a very common tool used for financing. So something that definitely is available to the city and the county for this project.
Yeah, I do want to say, you know, to add to that, all of the expenses that come from the Adams County Park and Rec District number one all go through the county treasurer. So it's the oversight is by the county treasurer, and that means that they have to be submitted to the county auditor first for approval, and then they're paid by the treasurer. So there's ample oversight, and that's how, and all of that process is why we have this pool that we have up here now. And so what I'm asking the council is are you in favor of something like this? And you want to?
Well, I think for five more years, no increase in our tax rates, and we get two more facilities for our kids to use in the summertime, and it sounds like the park will get ample equipment and funding for to get that in brought up to snuff, and I'm in favor of it.
I feel the same way. I mean, it's not going to, the levy rates are going to be virtually the same, and if it's not raising anything, I don't know why people would have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Something that would help the city out.
I concur. Where's the money coming from?
Voters are going to vote for it.
No, but where does it actually come from?
Property tax.
So the current 2006 bond annual principal and interest payment, does it come out of the city general fund?
No.
Where does it come out of?
The county treasurer pays it.
The county treasurer
collects the taxes and then pays it direct.
I thought we were still making a loan payment on that.
Adams County Park and Rec does, and it's paid by the treasurer. So when the taxes are collected, the treasurer pays the tax, or pays the bond back. That's her responsibility. So the, none of the money goes through the city. Consensus to move forward.
You got enough of the consensus.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to say, Corbin?
I just, you know, I think a flow rider would do amazing things for that pool. I do. I've seen a couple of them, and they're always packed with people. Yeah. Every place you go, they're packed with people. So I think it would help our pool a lot. Do we want to go into, you know, another, what did you say it was, 1.3 million?
Yeah.
It's another 5 years of the same rate.
And then after, so we're actually being in this until 2032, right?
31.
I think for what I think the flow rider would do, yeah, I think so.
And a splash pad.
The splash pad, I don't know if it would bring very many more people to. It might.
I think
it would be good for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the flow rider would actually get people to the pool.
Well, that's going to get the older kids there.
Right.
Where the splash pad is going to give something for the younger kids to do while they're there.
Okay. One of the other things is the Lions Club had contacted me because they had a fundraiser, and they wanted to give the city $5,000 towards a splash pad. And I said, maybe, you know, and that was when we didn't get the grant. And so I asked the Lions Club, then they contacted me here again and wanted to know. And I said, well, how about you give half of that money to the Park and Rec District or through the city to advertise and do a mailing on this bond issue. I think they're going to do that. So
is there a way to tie that certain amount, that money that the county is going to get to that park, so the county can't use it anywhere else other than that park?
I think it is already.
Yeah, it's required.
It's required that it be used there.
Yeah, it's state law and federal law requires these type of scenarios to, you can only use it for the purpose that you advertise to the public.
Because I just am not believing they're using $10,000 a year down there. I just don't. I see what goes on down there. I'm down there twice a week, three times a week, every week. And like I said, the only time anything ever gets done down there is when the community steps in. So I just want to know what they're doing with the money.
Well, they have a board meeting on the third Wednesdays at the hospital at 5 o'clock. So I'm going to be there at this next one. So if you want to come, we can ask them.
I think I will. I will attempt to.
I'll remind you.
Okay.
Thank you. So let's move on in our agenda to item 4.2 is a resolution to approve TIB grant applications. And we have our city engineer, Sean O'Brien, to review that for us.
So Mayor, Council, it's that time of the year where to apply for TIB, Transportation Improvement Board projects. They have annually have a certain amount of funds that are available. For our cities our size, it falls into three different categories. One's the Urban Arterial Program, Arterial Preservation Program, and then an Urban Sidewalk Program. We directed Varela to put in a project in each one of those categories. And with this, to submit the projects, you actually have to have a resolution from council saying that they support the project and will appropriate the 10% match, so that if we do get the project, we do have those funds set aside or reserved in our budget for next year, so that we can actually do the jobs and they don't award something and then turn around and the city drops it because they can't either don't support it or don't have the funds. Their decisions come out around November or so, so it'll actually be this year, and then these projects would be scheduled to be designed in the winter, spring, and then work on in the summer. So the three projects that have been proposed are Lee Road, doing what we did with the current portion of Lee Road that's under construction, doing that also from Broadway to 7th Avenue, and trying to beat the McCain expansion and have that road ready to go for truck traffic. The second project is Ash Street, putting a new mill and fill the traveled lanes and then chip sealing the outside lanes. We already have a project that will be taking place next year for putting bulb outs and sidewalk improvements through a Safe Routes to School program grant that we got. The thought is it'd be good to kind of piggyback those two projects together and have Ash Street in upgraded stages when we're done. And then the third one was a urban sidewalk program, several streets, I think Larch, Elm, and Hemlock, where there are little sections of sidewalk and trying to connect those and complete them so that you do have starting to have a sidewalk facility that can be used to go through those areas. So to be able to move forward, we just have to have a resolution that from council that says you support those projects, and we will have those monies set aside. So I can answer any questions.
Council? Okay. Need a motion to authorize the mayor to sign this resolution.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Sean. And we'll now move to item 4.3, real estate sale agreement. Almost a year ago, council directed me to pursue the purchase of 5 acres of farm property adjacent to the city well number 9, and so it has taken this amount of time to get all parties to move. Part of it, we were waiting to see if your Bureau of Reclamation, which I've yet to be able to have that meeting, but I do have direction now from who the proper people are to meet. But the nature of this sale is the property is owned by Tom and Sarah Salisbury, and the purchase price of the property is $60,000 for the 5 acres plus closing costs. However, there is a holdback agreement that allows the city to purchase the property for $45,000 if the city is able to receive permission to mitigate the buried Bureau of Reclamation drain lines located on our property. The city has 12 months from closing to obtain the permission. Otherwise, we have more than 12 months. It's actually 540 days, which is a year and a half. 18 months to obtain this permission. Otherwise, the $15,000 goes back to the Salisburys. If we do receive written permission from the Bureau to mitigate those drain lines, then we will keep the $15,000. The long-term effect of the purchase of this property is to create a new city-owned parcel that increases in size from 13 to 18 acres, which can later be developed into a park or other future uses as determined by the City Council. The property right now is being surveyed, and an application to Adams County for a boundary line adjustment will secure our intent. After we've had numerous discussions with staff, Public Works, City Engineering, we recommend City Council authorize the mayor to sign this real estate agreement and finalize the purchase of those 5 acres from Tom and Sarah Salisbury. Is there any questions? I'll open the floor for questions. Okay.
I'll move to authorize the mayor to finalize the purchase with Tom and Sarah and sign the real estate sale agreement.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Moved item 4.4, which is a request for funds from the Public Works Department. And Terry is going to those items tonight.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. In front of you is a request for funds. There's a couple items on here. The first one is your Public Works building number 281 East Pine Street. We did a lot of work in there this last winter. We didn't get it completed. We're up in the office area up there. We've got tremendous amount of holes in the ceiling where we've got covers for electrical that were used for a lot of electrical lighting for display use. We're having a hard time covering those and to be able to space our lighting out. So you see on the list here, we've got false ceiling. We're gonna probably use a false ceiling to set that down 6 inches to cover that up and then set the lighting inside of that and support most of our lighting. We've got a fence that's gotta go around the facility right now. The fence encroaches on another person's property over there. We had it surveyed. We haven't been able to move it yet. We got a couple of posts that we're going to do some labor and move the post so we can get a cantilever gate in there and take care of where it's out of a line. The paint on the building is also outside as well as inside. It's two-tone and matches the rest of our painting around there for $8,000. And then we've got some electrical to do between the office for the lighting there and the switches in the main office of the main building, and then the lighting inside the building of the other two bays. One bay's got lighting, the other two bays, you gotta use a work light with a plug-in or a 100-watt bulb that's on the wall to get it to light. So we've got some stuff in that building. We've moved from the old Mo shop over for the park stuff, but we haven't completed it up. We run out of time and had to go out on the street, prepare the ball fields. So this total right here is $50,000 on that portion of it. And now I'll move on to the City Hall HVAC. We were experiencing some issues in the control side, which I think everybody's aware that our controls are quite old. Electronic controls are the only thing that's not state of the art. They're mid-80s, floppy disk drive up there, and our tux box that's in the controls outside in the zones, 24 zones, is they were last made and produced in 2000, the year 2000. So they're not available unless you go to eBay. eBay has some on there. Our first IT guy was buying those, but we'd buy three or four at a shot. We'd try two or three of them. One of them would work. The rest were garbage because they had already been burned up. So long story short, you got a small oil leak out at the compressor unit out here, which is easy to stop. But when you have an oil leak in a refrigeration business, you also have a Freon leak, which requires a compressor to be recharged. As far as the HVAC controls, we're running against time for heat. Most of the parts are 3 weeks out. The tariffs, the new tariff that comes in on September 1st by the president on China, puts us about another 3 weeks out if we have to get any long lead times involved in this. The people that actually installed a lot of these and run a lot of this line and wire for these controls out here has the drawings and everything and the engineered prints for this to replace this. If we go to bid and we run this out to bid, we're gonna be down in the season where we're gonna need heat, but we have absolutely no heat to provide this building right now. We're running the HVAC off of a cell phone battery pack that's wired into a voltage stat to keep it going. So my suggestion is to declare it an emergency and move forward and sole source it so that we can move forward and beat the actual heat side of this. So that to do that is $70,000, and that includes the actual maintenance on the condenser and the compressor out back. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
I got a question on the fencing. That's completely fenced around there already. Why do we need a new fence?
That is a construction fence with just butterfly clips on the outside. And it's just got T-posts with an actual fence post just stuck over the top of it, drove in the ground. So it really hasn't got much security to it at all. You can push the corner in and get into the yard. There's no top wire. They're just panels.
It's all temporary. So your totals will not to exceed costs?
On this, John?
On the $50,000 total for the public works building?
That's true. That's true.
So if you can save any?
If we save, we can save. The painting's going to be done by us. I'm going to try and do it with seasonal guys I got. Cool. And try and push some of that off and get in there. We've done a lot of work inside the building. You guys probably haven't seen it, but the way the mayor has, the way it used to be and what it does now, it looks totally different. So we just got a little bit more here to go, and we can put some other stuff in it. So
they've really done a good job. I mean, it's, Spencer's not here. Where's the money coming from? Okay, part of it, I think it's in here. 25% is parks, 25% is streets, 25% is water, and 25% is from the sewer fund.
And the HVAC just comes out of the City Hall building maintenance.
HVAC, unfortunately, is all general fund expense. Mm-hmm. And there's the money in all those funds to do this.
Yes.
And we're okay on declaring emergency in this case?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to take a look at that. I'd want to know some more information, but I can certainly get that information from Terry. We can figure that out.
How about a motion subject to legal counsel approval?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we'll move to Terry to item 4.5, Chicano State Softball Tournament.
For another year, Charles Garcia is requesting use of Lions Park for his Chicano State Softball Tournament. Really no different than it has in the past. We're going to provide a stage for him. We're going to put out a vendor court for him. He's going to have vendors up the vendor line and out in the court. He's going to have a band. He knows the ordinance for noise level. They'll come in, they'll set up the 24th, more than the 24th. Ball games will start the 24th, play the 25th, and then we'll take everything down after that. All of his fees have been paid up at City Hall, and he just needs authorization for the use of this and signing the resolution.
There's a typo on item 3 of the resolution. Under the resolved. It says $1,000 when it should say $1,080.
Mine says $1,080.
The legal says $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
On number 3?
Yeah.
Mine says
$1,080. Oh, you mean, yeah, I see what you mean, John. It just
read
says
it.
$1,000, but
oh, okay, yes.
So it's $1,080. So, so we'll add that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion subject to the correction.
It also says $200 when it should say $208.
On number 2.
So you just need to go through your legal.
Yep.
I'll make the motion to approve the resolution with the changes.
Yes. As recommended by Councilman Paulus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then
Item 4.6 tonight, we have our city engineer, Sean O'Brien. He has an update on Lee Road for the council.
Yes. So, Mayor, Council, and the schedule, when this meeting was first scheduled, I thought I was about the only item on there, so I figured we should probably get something else to provide some filler and make it worth your while to show up. But Lee Road is the project that has started out. They started about two and a half weeks ago. And this was the condition of Lee Road before we started this TIB project. And it was very broken up, and Public Works was having to kind of band-aid together to keep it going. And so with this TIB project, it's going to look just like a normal road when we get done, but it actually, they came in and they pulverized the existing road, so tore it all up, basically crushed it down to kind of rock size. Then they had this truck which came in and laid down a layer of cement over the existing rock.
Powder.
Yeah, just straight cement powder, laid it right on top. And then the truck to the side of it, you see the water truck, and right behind that is the mixer. So we'll jump to the next slide. And that equipment there on the right side of the screen makes the pass. So this first picture, I guess, is after it has rototilled the cement into the existing base, plus the water truck. It's measuring a certain amount of water to be mixed with that cement, and then they would make the number of passes to hit everything. And once they're done, once they've went over it, the contractor had a third party that went in there and started taking compaction tests to measure the water content to make sure it's a correct mixture and a consistent mixture, and then they hit it with a sheep's foot roller, which started getting that material compacted with the cement, which now you have a cement water mixture with the material. And this is a 10-inch deep base that goes underneath the road. Once that kicks in, I mean, it's starting to, just like cement concrete, it is starting to react and harden up. And so they have a little window of time that then they hit it with the grader, get it to the right level, and then go through with a smooth roller. And so when they're done, it looks pretty much just like a gravel road at that time. But that first day, it's curing up. And then just like with sidewalk in the hot weather, you put a coat on it. Here we're able to just actually put kind of an oil shot on there, which helps keep all that the moisture in there and allow that cement to react with the and harden up. And the following day, actually before they even put that oil down, I mean, it is pretty much like a sidewalk. I mean, you can kick it. It doesn't have this high of a cement content, but it's not something you can dig into with a shovel or kick around.
Sean explained it to me. You couldn't drive a nail in it.
Yep. And so that had to cure. So they shot that oil on Thursday, I believe. And so then it's been kind of sitting out there, not a whole lot of activity, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So today they applied 2 inches of the rock goes on top of that. And then starting Wednesday and Thursday, they'll pave it. So come Thursday at the end of the workday, the road will be paved with only some shoulder work and striping left to do. We had one casualty out there, that special truck that lays the cement out. When they were about 300 feet from being finished, the rear axle on it broke. And so there was one day where they had to wait till the next morning to get the parts shipped up here and get working on it. They did get it fixed, got the cement in the following day. So it'll have one less day of curing, but shouldn't be a problem. So when this project's all done, you'll essentially have about an 18-inch road profile, 10 inches of concrete, 2 inches of compacted rock, and then 6 inches of asphalt on top of that. So that should withstand any, the truck loading should not tear it up. We will not end up with a road that was in the same condition as Lee Road prior to this. So, but just in case you have anybody questioning, you know, when's Lee Road going to get opened up? It should be by the end of this week. It will be opened up and nice and black and smooth, and hopefully not a constant source of repair needs that Public Works has had been provided for the last couple of years, just to keep that road plugging along. So, any questions?
You also said the county?
Oh, and got a call this morning. The county will be chip sealing tomorrow the section of road from 14th Avenue to Highway 17, since our traffic control is up in place. It's fairly easy for them to shut down Lee Road and do it without doing much more work. It's kind of a surprise and ran that by our contractor. It'll all work out. They wanted to reroute our trucks and affect our contract a little bit, and county and the contractor hashed it out, and they'll still be running trucks down Lee Road on Wednesday and Thursday because they didn't think they could make the turn at Reynolds and get onto Lee Road with the, you know, when half the road's being paved and trying to stay off the asphalt. So, any case, come here by the end of this week, all that road will be addressed, and then it'll be a couple weeks before the county comes in and actually sweeps up all the rock, and we'll be done with their portion.
Terrific, Sean.
So,
I have a couple comments. First of all, I want to thank the council for the foresight to insist that we hire our own engineer. I noted to Sean earlier today that isn't it nice that we're paving when it's the hottest time of the year, when you're supposed to be paving and it's going to be 103 degrees for the next couple of days, and we're doing all of our project then instead of trying to finish it sometime in November or late October. I just, TIB never was, they were not really happy with the city of Othello with regard to how late we started these projects. And the other thing that amazes me is how quickly Granite was able to come in. And Sean, I want to thank you for your oversight of this. This project did not take nearly as long as I thought it would. Of course, it didn't have sidewalk and it didn't have, you know, water and storm water and sewer, you know, running through Lee Road. But I just want to thank you for all your work on this, because this project has come off really, really well. And this is really, I think, been for the council and for the community and for the industrial businesses that are along Lee Road. It's tremendous. And the council just approved a resolution for me to sign to seek more funds to finish Lee Road all the way to Broadway and even across the railroad tracks of Broadway. And given McCain's new plans for their expansion, it couldn't come at a better time. And it just is going to make a tremendous corridor or truck route, and they're going to want to drive on the new road. They're not going to be wanting to drive down Olympia like they've been the last couple of days. But I think some of that, because Angel was taking pictures and sending them here. So anyway, I just want to thank Sean. I want to thank the council for the diligence and the effort that you put forward to help bring this city into the new century. So having finished that, we'll go to our unfinished business tonight. Is there any unfinished business the council wants to bring up?
I've got a question for Chief. Can we get that speed trailer over on Olympia?
Sure.
I was over there last Saturday, and you know, we had that lady come in and complaining about people speeding. I bet you this one car was doing 50 miles an hour. I mean, it was horrible. And then these trucks that have been going down it, they've been definitely more than 25 miles an hour. And I don't know, it's pretty bad. So I don't know if that would help, but I mean, people see that.
It's worth a try. We'll get it over there.
Is there any other unfinished business? Is there any new business council wants to bring up? Okay. Having no further business, I'll close tonight's meeting at 7:19 p.m.
Just in time.